Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we shall look at this passage once again from verses 1 to 9 in our series of gospel passages for Christians. We preach the gospel on Sunday evening, but in these last few months we'll be looking at gospel passages in the morning as well, partly because it's an opportunity to preach the gospel to those who attend the morning service. And who don't come in the evening service, but also for the Lord's people to see what a great gospel we have and how this should affect everything about us. Well, we come to verse 5, and these words, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. If I can introduce this verse in the following way. You've probably heard it said a few times. The revival people of North Wales and South Wales used to respond to the greeting, "How are you today?" in a very Christian and godly manner in years gone by. In North Wales, response to "How are you?" In the Welsh language, of course, but would be "Still believing," or "Dali Gredi" in Welsh. In South Wales, response to "How are you?" would be "Being kept," or in Welsh, "Cael fy nghadw." So still believing and being kept. Now, we find that in our verse, those two things. The still believing can be seen in our verse through the phrase "through faith." And the being kept can be seen with that excellent expression, "kept by the power of God." You could interpret this as two expressions of two sides of a coin, of the same coin, perseverance and preservation. We persevere to the end. Perseverance of the saints is one of the great expressions. And that can be found in this expression, through faith, or still believing, perseverance. But preservation, probably the bigger matter, kept by the power of God, being kept. Two important doctrines and truths related to each other, as we shall see. But of course, the one which is the crucial matter in the end is being kept by the power of God. Our perseverance and God's preservation, they go hand in hand. Now, we shall see in verses 6 and 7 much about perseverance. Look at those verses, God willing, in a few weeks' time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. A sense of the struggle and perseverance there. But since it's mentioned in verses 6 and 7, our main thought today will be this preservation of God, being kept. Although we shall give due attention to that phrase, through faith, and this thought of still believing as well. Indeed, let's begin with that, because it'd be good to look at that combination, that relationship between being kept and still believing. And then we'll come to the power of God that keeps us. The first thing I want you to notice this is how true to life it is that we persevere in the Christian life. You can't take that out of our life. The daily life, the daily grind, you could say, that we persevere in the Christian life. We trust in Him. It's not just working in the flesh in our own effort. We look to Him, we persevere, we look to Him, and in this looking to Him, this faith, this trusting, which is, after all, stretching up, looking to God, then we prove and bring down, so to speak, the power of God in keeping us. It is the gospel way. You'll find in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those accounts of Christ, where people had faith in Christ, and they believed in Him. And what did they prove? They proved the mighty power of Christ to heal them and to help them. They believed. time and time again. They believed, they trusted, and Christ helped them powerfully. Indeed, you might recall our Savior often asked them to do something. He wouldn't just heal them. Generally speaking, he would ask them to do a simple matter, which required faith or obedience. Stretch out your hand or stand up or something like that. This obedience and faith in him, and then he would help them and show his power. Draws us out, and then he helps. And the Lord in his great wisdom does that to engage us, to bring us to him, and then his mighty power is expressed to us. As we think of the Christian life, we might think of the shield of faith, thinking of the armor and this mention of faith through faith, the shield of faith and the whole armor, that picture of battling and fighting in the Christian life. Think of Pilgrim's Progress. The whole book is full of struggle and problems and overcoming, fighting, John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian goes through conversion and then all the trials of life, but is mightily and wonderfully kept to the end. And so it is in the scriptures. And of course, Pilgrim's Progress is wonderfully biblical. In the scriptures, we see this struggle with life, looking to him in faith and proving him to be true, his power, and even victory and triumph. These things are very much part and parcel of Christian language, victory and triumph over our adversaries and our struggles. But you might have little faith. You might struggle in your Christian life. Well, will you be abandoned? Oh, not so. God will keep you, but probably through the eyes of defeat. You'll find yourself downcast in the doldrums, in defeat. Even though God keeps you, you won't be in that sense of enjoyment and victory of what God is doing for you. You'll struggle, but God in his grace, if you are his, will keep you nevertheless. He is so gracious to us all. But, of course, this is one of the secrets of the Christian life. And the more you believe, the more you shall prove in your own heart this victory, this triumph of being kept. You see, it makes sense, doesn't it? God will not bless a Christian who lacks trust and belief. He won't bless your backsliding, your slowness of heart with great blessings. He'll keep you, but he won't bless you wonderfully. That makes sense, doesn't it? That would be a strange thing, to bless backsliding and slowness of heart. But rather, when you look to him, he will honor you. You just look to me, he will say, you look to me, and I will bless you for it. It is a very personal and intimate thing, the Christian life. And we engage with a living God and a living Savior. We look to him, then indeed, he then looks to us. Well, more than that, he brings us and he invites us along those paths. Let me read you this hymn. This hymn is a well-known hymn and really captures so much of this. We sing these hymns time and time again, not realizing sometimes the great doctrines and the truths which we are singing, until maybe you experience something and lo and behold, the hymn becomes meaningful to you because you never saw it before, but now you see it because you've experienced it. And so you find these great truths in the hymns we sing. Listen to this hymn. Fight the good fight with all thy might. See it? Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be. See? Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up thine eyes and seek his face. Just these things we're speaking about. Life with its path before thee lies. Christ is the way and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on thy guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust, and thy trusting soul shall prove. Christ is his life and Christ is love. Faint not nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not and thou art dear. Only believe and thou shalt see that Christ is all in all to thee. Well, there you have it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, in a nutshell, in that hymn. It's all there in that wonderful hymn. But let's now trace the hand of God, this power of God in keeping us. But before I do, let me just remind you of how we enter this great relationship with God. It mentions here faith, of course, this mention of faith in verse 5 would be that Christian daily believing and trusting in God. But there is a faith before that, a crucial, decisive faith, which leads us into this trusting relationship, and that's conversion. And when a man is saved, it is a decisive and a saving faith, which is a prerequisite of all this. None of this will be your experience unless you've entered this saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross, received the sins of men, made us right with God, removed that horrible obstacle of our sins, suffered himself for our sins, and all who look to him and trust in him receive the benefits. Same principle, but very decisive. Nothing takes place without this first conversion experience of being saved. You believe in him, you're saved. Your sins are on him, you have his blessings and righteousness. This is the entrance into the blessings of God and of heaven and of being right with God. And then, of course, after being saved, then indeed we continue looking to him, and through faith we experience further blessings. But remember that first step of conversion. Do you understand that? That you must be saved, you must be converted, you must have that first faith, that saving faith, before you know anything of this. All these things will be maybe quaint and delightful to you, maybe of some help, but not of real, vital help to you, because these things we're speaking of are not your experience unless you have first believed in Jesus Christ. This introducing faith, this conversion, this belief that must take place. And then, of course, the Christian life opens out, and then we continue to look to him. We're not saved again and again and again, saved once and once only. But then, of course, the Christian life, built upon Christ and who he is, continues. Well, what about this great power of God mentioned in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time? Now, this word kept carries the meaning of guarding and shielding. It's a military term where soldiers would watch and protect a city or a location. We might think of a battalion, shall we say, walking around with us. Or we might think of a garrison of soldiers stationed at a place. There they are, positioned in a place for a purpose. But it's much more than soldiers in a garrison or a battalion. It is God himself in his mighty power who is stationed around your heart. That's what the verse is saying, garrisoned by the power of God. You have this guarding and shielding. These soldiers, who is none other than God himself and his mighty power. You think of who he is. He is the creator, the maker of all things, infinite, eternal, supreme, transcendent. And this mighty power is garrisoned around your heart. But the word kept also carries another thought as well. It has a double meaning of keeping out and keeping in. So the sense of keeping out in the sense of protecting from danger without, but also it carries the sense of keeping in, as soldiers might keep out, but soldiers also might keep in. And it also carries the meaning of keeping in, preventing from escaping. Now we can apply that very powerfully, I think, to our Christian lives. We are obviously, the obvious thing would be, we are kept from danger without, the world and the devil. And we'll come back to that. Also, but less obvious, and equally a danger though, we're kept from ourselves and our wandering hearts, the dangers within. But also, I want to bring something else out of this passage, in a sense of journey, and we are kept along the way. See mention in this passage of strangers and sojourners, the sense of travelling, the journey of life. And there we find, don't we, that reference we just looked at recently, begotten again, that birth, necessary birth of our hearts, the second birth. And then we also see many mentions here of the last time and the end of your faith, the end of the journey. So I want to mention that too. Kept from danger without, kept from danger within with ourselves, and kept along the way. Let's think of this, kept from danger without. If we could see the true nature of a hostile world and the powers of darkness set against us, their numbers and their opposition, we would fear for our lives. If we could truly see things as they are. I would compare it to those wartime novels. I don't suppose young children read those things anymore, but in my time it was Biggles and things like that, and very often somebody would land in enemy territory, parachute down, and then had the great task of escaping through enemy territory back to their own country. And that's the feeling we have here. We've landed in enemy territory, you could say, and we've got to make it back to our own country. And we don't realize how hostile the world is towards us. Perhaps because we've benefited from centuries in this land of unusual blessing, very unusual blessing experienced by our land, not normal at all. It's difficult to find other episodes in the history of man quite like the history of our nation. Unusual blessing in our land. And so we tend to forget the real relationship between the world and the Christian. But it's coming more apparent. There's an increasing sense of enmity in our society, in our country. And the enmity, in truth, is all around us. That is the normal experience of the Christian. It is true all the time, but it's becoming more apparent. The truth is becoming more apparent in these days in which we live. The enmity is all around us. But worse than that, worse than an evil and a wicked world, because it is an evil and a wicked world, you need to mark that and understand that it is an evil and a wicked world, but also the powers of darkness, the devil and evil spirits that roam this world, are lined up against us. Who do you think they're targeting? They are targeting the Lord's people. Anybody with the name and the nature of Christ. They are lined up against the Lord's people and would target individual Christians and target churches. And of course, there are certain times we become more aware of this darkness. Sometimes we live our lives oblivious to it all, but there are times you just sense something and you think to yourself, that was darkness. I don't know exactly what it was, but I know it was darkness. And there is something underhand and secret about these powers of darkness very often. Not always, of course, but very often they can be like that. And so, coming back to our battling, most certainly, you must wear the armor. The shield of faith is paramount. You can't go through this country without fighting your way through. There will be times the battle will be raging about you, and you'll be aware of the battle at certain times in your life. And you fight and you struggle, and you need to fight and struggle. Otherwise, you will be wounded. It's a reality to our lives. And if we do something careless and foolish, then we shall suffer for it. The Lord is gracious, can deliver us, but there will be consequences to foolish behavior, careless behavior, Christians. But most especially, if we are faithful to Him and press on, you will experience more and more this power of God. And really, nothing less would do. Whatever your strength, whatever you're battling, really, you're not equipped without Him. And what you are doing, of course, when you fight with the Christian armor, is looking to Him all the time. That's why it is so powerful and so successful. How else could you survive under these circumstances with the enmity of the world and with the powers of darkness lined up against you? You wouldn't survive at all. They would just turn upon you and you'd be defenseless. It's a great hatred against what's in your heart. But they cannot, because you look to him and the power of God is being worked out in your life. God is garrisoning you. The battalion of God, the garrison of God is about you. And of course, the wonderful thing is this, that the more we call upon him, the more we shall experience these things. He's responsive. God is a responsive God. And he responds to our cries and our calls. How then we should call? How careless we are to wander into this world without equipping ourselves, dressing ourselves properly, calling upon his name. We should indeed be like that every day of our lives, shouldn't we? When we consider our situation. But you see, some of these arrows seem to get through, and sometimes we feel, to quote the psalmist, the sword in the bones. There are times we feel mortally wounded. How then are we kept at the power of God when some of these arrows get through to us and we feel downcast, despondent, wounded, feel almost as if we are dying within and dying many deaths? Well, it so happens the next few verses really help us here. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord, in his remarkable power, although keeping us, is able to overturn these times when the enemy gets through, and he uses them to burn away the dross in us. Sometimes you actually feel the dross burning away through your fire experience. You feel, I never saw self in me quite like that before. Where did that self come from? I realize now I was very proud. And these experiences humble us and burn away the dross, and they bring out the pure gold. It's a painful process, but it's all part of what God does. You see, the truth is this, the power of God not only keeps us from the designs of the wicked, and praise God for that, but also keeps us in those fiery trials. What power is this? That not only is able to keep back the enemy, but when the enemy gets through, is able to control it. We are truly garrisoned with the mighty power of God. That these so-called defeats of ours become victories. Because, the enemy says, I got him. Down he is. Mortally wounded. Look at him. How pathetic he is. But he rises again. This time a better man. More humble, more trusting in God. And on he goes. And a victory. And he owns his Lord. It's all victory. The devil wanted you to curse God and to turn against him, but rather you cling to him more fiercely. Oh, what a victory that is. Now, we could say much more about the dangers without worldliness and sin and so on. We're also kept from those things too. But let's go on to this other matter of being kept from ourselves. Remember I mentioned the double meaning of the word kept, keeping out and keeping in? Well, this keeping in is a guard preventing one from escaping. And so you could say the power of God keeps us in and prevents us from escaping. It's not that we want to escape the grace of God. Far from it. If we are the Lord's, we love him. But we are very foolish. And we are often our own worst enemy. We have a tendency to take the wrong step and to wander away. And we are like sheep sometimes. And when one goes, another follows. So, so foolish. And there we go, away from the Lord and towards danger. Happily, merrily going down the lane, away from the Lord towards danger. What fools we are. But the power of God in some way will keep you from going away altogether. You may well take a wrong step. Now, of course, somebody might take a wrong step, may go some way, and this will be to your harm. As I said, there are consequences to foolishness. And if you keep going, it is a bad sign, I have to say, because it might mean you are not his. If you keep going, because obviously you're not kept by the power of God. You're not guarded in. You can't have been his if you keep going. And that would be the explanation. But thank God for those who are guarded, And although we wander and are foolish, it's a sure sign you are his when he goes after you and brings you back, like Christ in the picture of the shepherd on his shoulders. It's a sure sign you are his when he prevents you. You know, we tend to press the self-destruct button so often, but the Lord prevents us from destroying ourselves. We are guarded in and kept from escaping. Indeed, I would say the only reason why you are here today is that you are kept by the power of God, the sense of keeping you in. There is no way you will be here today worshiping God, following Christ. There's no way. This life is too difficult. The enemy is too great. If it was not for the power of God, more to the point, we are too foolish and too weak of ourselves, unless it was this guarding, this shielding, this garrison of God keeping us in. How many of us can testify to unusual events in our life? Think back on your life now. I can think of two or three. A decisive moment in your life where you were hedged in. You could have gone here, you could have gone there. There was some danger before you, some wrong course, but God hedged you in and kept you from taking that course. These are good signs, you see, that God is hedging you in, is guarding you, is keeping you from yourselves. These are signs that you are born again, that you are a Christian. You don't go to the places where you might have gone. Something stopped you. Sometimes he sends somebody just to intercept you and say something to you. Or some event happens and it never happened. That is God guarding you and keeping you in. Praise his name. What a God he is. What a guardian he is. What a shield and protection we have in him. He keeps us from ourselves. Well, also we are kept along the way. And we have in these verses a sense of journey, the journey of our life. We often sing, don't we, God is the end of the journey, but also God is the beginning of the journey. And here we have a great sense in this passage of the beginning. Now, even before the beginning, you could say, elect. Takes us back into the counsel of the triune God. Who can understand that? Elect. We are the elect of God. Something is going on in your life. You can't explain it. You're drawn. Why is it? God has named you. He has named you. And there is that eternal beginning we can't quite fathom or understand. But also in your experience, there will be a beginning which will lead to you believing in Christ and this faith, this saving faith in Christ. And it is this second birth. Is begotten again mentioned in this passage. You are begotten again. And the power of God is in our birth. As any midwife would know, there's a need to be careful when a child is born. Many things must come together. Great care must be taken. And so with the birth of our souls, when you consider the mighty power required to bring us, as we heard on Wednesday night, out of the deep sleep of death, this deep sleep of death, this awful condition of our unbelief and what sin has done to us. What can bring us out of that death and make us breathe for the first time? A mighty power of God. This is not just death. So not just birth, I'm trying to say. Not just birth. It is birth from death. A mighty power of God. It's a resurrection. It's a birth and a resurrection, you could say. All these words are biblical words to describe this rising of the soul. When we consider the power of God in this birth, we can just compare those who are Christians to those who are not. And there you see the miracle of it. The world. You know the world, don't you? Oh, the death all around us. And no interest, no activity in the heart, nothing. Enmity, if anything. Enmity. And then also religion. Much of religion has the marks of the deep sleep of death. Doesn't have this lively hope, this living heart, this life. Has many other things, the rush here and the rush there, but not this life within. And these marks of God, when somebody is born again, you see the marks of the life of God. And it's rare, I grant you, but it's remarkable. And it is the power of God. It's a miracle that people who are sinners like us should ever desire the things of God. It is a miracle. And the power of God is in our birth. But also the power of God keeps us through the whole journey. We mentioned some things already, which could be summarized as the world, the devil, and the flesh, and all these things. We are kept through life. But also other things too, and many other obstacles in life's journey. We live in a fallen world. There are many pitfalls in this world, the disappointments of life, the anxieties of life. We sink in life's alarms. They're just around the corner all the time. You could compare these pitfalls to the roads of Cardiff, I think myself. The speed bumps and the potholes. It's quite an assault course, the roads of Cardiff these days. Don't want to make a semi-political point there, but it's an illustration of our life. Up, avoiding potholes, and sometimes we fall. If you are on a bicycle particularly, or even in a car, you feel those bumps, don't you? But you can stumble, and especially when we consider our frailty, we might faint within. It's a real point. Although I compare it in a humorous way to the roads of Cardiff, it's a real point. These things are difficult. Life is difficult for all people. It's especially difficult for the Christian. And the devil can use these things and use these ordinary things and just double them up and make us downcast and despondent. Well, what this verse is saying to us, such is our position with the Lord, that nothing will be allowed to bring us short. The power of God will bring us throughout it all, He will keep us. The word of God says it not once, but many times. And it says it here this morning. Kept by the power of God, garrisoned by the power of God. The Lord will keep you. His honor is at stake. He's put, if you like, his name upon you. He says he's going to keep you. His very honor and his glory depends upon it, that he will do what he has promised, and he will garrison you in his mighty power, and to the end of the journey, and to the arrival into the inheritance and the glory. You see, this preservation would mean very little if it did not achieve the final goal. And this phrase here we find in verse 5, revealed in the last time, speaks of the reality of this arrival, which is still to take place. Christ, we are told, is preparing a place for you. Christ has spoken of, where I am, you shall be also. He's told us all these things. Christ is in position, you could say. He is the head, we are the body. He is in position. We are going to him. But it hasn't happened yet. The final part is still to be revealed. That's the meaning of the phrase. Still to be done. Much of this we speak of here has been done. But this is still to be done, to be revealed. It will happen. And the Lord will guard and shield your departure from this world. He's taken you this far, and he will finish the job, so to speak. He will guard and battalion and garrison your departure from this world. He'll also guard and shield your entrance into the inheritance, into heaven, and you shall be where Christ is. You shall be where Christ is, and the power of God will take you there. These are the words before us. Oh, as it says in verse 7, it will all add up to the praise and honor and glory at his appearing. These things are stupendous things. How can we arrive there? Well, the same way we entered this great life, the power of God, the same way in which we continued through life. And also, we shall, with one more wonderful display of power of God, the garrison of God, we shall be taken to Christ himself and shall be with him. Now, are you not moved at these things? Are you not touched at this keeping out and this keeping in? is keeping along the way. Are these things nothing to you? Are you an earthly minded Christian? Are you not a Christian at all? Well, for such people, believe in Christ. Believe in him. Even now, believe in him. And you'll enter these great things. Oh, the enmity and the darkness, the devil, the world and the flesh. These things are your world. And these things are your future as well, that you might escape through the grace and the power of God. Believe the mighty power of God, the mighty power of Christ to save you is before you this morning. God has ordered that you might be here this morning. Maybe despite yourself, God has ordered that you are here this morning. Maybe there were many obstacles, you might not have been here, but you are here this morning. Christ is exalted and lifted up before you. Here he is, saving many people. You look to him, and he saves you. That is the experience that many of us have been blessed with. We have looked to him and found that he saved us, and he entered our heart. And this well of water rising up to everlasting life. Then look to him. Will you just go through this life in unbelief? What a life. A life of unbelief, of enmity for the world, the flesh and the devil. Oh, will you look to him who can save you to the goodness and the grace and the glory of heaven, of God himself, the creator, our God, the power of Jesus Christ. My dear friend, have you experienced Christ approaching your heart and saving you? Have you experienced, have you looked to him? Have you known that he has saved you? Your sins are forgiven, and you feel that life over the years surging through your being, the interest in the things of God, and the sense of sins forgiven. Then, if you have not, then do so now. But for the Christian too, that you will have this still believing and being kept. Trust and obey. The hymn says, trust and obey. You see these phrases, trust and obey. Trust who? Obey who? The hymn. That's the power. We look in weakness sometimes. Hardly able, but we look to him, and he honors that looking, and he honors his name and his glory, and he draws near, and you experience the power of God in keeping you. Well, indeed, still believing, says North Wales, and quite right, being kept, says South Wales. Thank God. Amen. Our Father and our God, we come before thee, O Lord, thanking thee that we are kept. The story of every Christian is great struggles and trials, looking. Oh, but there is this wonderful theme running through, that we are kept by the power of God. O Lord, we thank thee. And even now, O Lord, we wish to look in our weakness, look into thy face, in the face of Jesus Christ. Wish to trust and believe and know more of the benefits of his mighty power, that we might indeed know these riches and the wealth of his person. Lord, hear our prayers now and help us, we ask in our Saviour. Amen.